Hello and welcome to Who Collective Emergency Podcast. Joining me from Athens, Georgia, where he was planning on taking the rest of the week off to attend a family wedding, is Tim Bonteps.
Hello, guys.
And joining me from Cologne, Germany, where he broke off watching the Germany-France game in Eurobasket pool play to come back to his hotel, ruined his night eating Wiener Schnitzel and drinking out of Steins, is Band McMahon.
A lot of that is true, but not all of it.
Okay.
Got to see Dirk's number go up in the rafters. Will Donovan Mitchell's number be retired by the Utah Jazz? Let's discuss.
No, it will not be. Will it be retired by the Cleveland Cavs? We have a pretty stunning trade that went down. The Cavs making one of the biggest trades in their franchise history. As a lifelong Northeastern Ohio person, I would say it's in the top three all time between them trading for Sean Kemp in 1997 or eight or something like that, trading for Kevin Love in 2014, and now trading for Donovan Mitchell, trading up 5 years of draft control, 2025, 27, 29 unprotected picks, 2026 and 28 swaps to the Jazz along with three players headlined by Lauri Markkanen, Colin Sexton in a sign and trade, 4 years, $72 million fully guaranteed. Colin Sexton, break out the champagne, sir. You hit the jackpot. He was headed for the qualifying offer last week. And Oche Agbaji, who was the Cavs lottery pick at the 14th pick this year out of Kansas, going to Utah. Mm-hmm. So before we talk about the way that Donovan Mitchell fits on the Cavs, first we have to talk about the underlying here, which is the collapse of talks between the New York Knicks and Utah Jazz. I don't know how close it actually was ever. Only maybe the Jazz would know that. And even within the Jazz organization, you may have people who would different, but the Knicks and Jazz had gotten to some stage where there was some progress, some traction. And it was a wrecking ball hit when the Knicks and Jazz wouldn't come to terms. I don't know who said no. I don't know if it was the Knicks that said no or the Jazz that said no. And Knicks went ahead and signed RJ Barrett to a contract extension on Monday. That created an incredible amount of animus between the two organizations. I definitely felt it in talking to people over the last 24 hours. I will tell you that even though I felt that there was some scar tissue there, I was saying it's only August 31st, September 1st. That doesn't mean that they're not going to do a deal. Even though RJ Barrett was under now a poison pill contract, I didn't think it was impossible for him to get traded or for the Knicks to eventually do a deal with the Jazz. But obviously the Jazz felt like they needed to move on and do this deal with the Cavs. Bontemps, we will not know about how this is going to work out for the Jazz for a while till we see where those Cavs picks fall. But the Jazz deciding to drop what they could get from the Knicks and go with the Cavs and trade Donovan Mitchell into a team that is probably going to be pretty formidable for the short to medium term. There was some emotions in this trade to go do this trade on September 1st.
Yes and no. I mean, I think obviously, you know, we saw earlier this week, you know, in our colleague Adrian Wojnarowski's reporting that the two sides had, you know, the Knicks had set this deadline on Monday. We're either going to extend RJ Barrett or we're going to have him in a trade right now. Obviously, the Knicks extended him. Ironically, Leon Rose had a quote tweeted out by the Knicks account about how excited they were to extend RJ Barrett 3 minutes before Adrian's tweet about the Cavs acquiring Donovan Mitchell in this blockbuster trade this afternoon. Certainly an interesting juxtaposition there. But I think beyond that, look, what did we spend the whole pod that came out this morning talking about? Is that ultimately, when you look at this deal, what is it that the Jazz wanted to get out of this deal? It was to get a mountain of draft capital going forward. We saw when they made the Rudy Gobert trade, where they got essentially five first-round picks for a bunch of expiring contracts going forward, they're prioritizing getting as much draft capital as possible and tearing this thing down to the studs. And as we've went through this whole process, the Knicks have had the most capital to put in a trade from a draft standpoint. And we've also consistently heard the Knicks were not willing to put in all of that draft capital, or even at times necessarily a lot of it, because they thought they were in the catbird seat in terms of getting Donovan Mitchell. And to me, Cleveland looked at this like Minnesota did, as you pointed out, we talked right before the pod, Brian, said, hey, look, we got a chance to take a huge swing here. We've got Darius Garland. We could pair two all-star guards together. We've got two bigs, elite defensive bigs, and Evan Mobley and Jared Allen to play behind them that can make up for their defensive deficiencies. We got a chance to take a big step forward in the East. We've got one of the best young cores in the league now. And so they put in five unprotected picks, between three unprotected first-round picks and two unprotected swaps. The bottom line is the Knicks looked at this and played a game of chicken with the Jazz and said, we don't think you guys are going to get the draft capital you want somewhere else, so we're going to wait and do this deal on our terms. The bottom line is the Knicks played that game of chicken and they lost. And maybe in the long term, it'll work out for them. Maybe they'll get somebody else down the road. But they have been building up assets to get a star. They had a CAA star sitting there who wanted to play for the Knicks, who had ties to New York, that the franchise had ties on. They're already within their team with Johnny Bryant being there. All these guys, you know, they're a thousand reasons pointing for Donovan Mitchell going to the Knicks. And ultimately, the Knicks let the pitch go by and the Cavs stepped up and hit it. And that's why things played out the way they did.
Yeah, we talked yesterday about the Knicks hadn't stuck to a plan in forever. They stuck to this Donovan Mitchell plan. This plan had been 3 years in the making. They stuck to it. And they just didn't execute it at the end. They ended up treating Donovan Mitchell as a want and not as a need. And honestly, I think you can make a justification for that. You know, if they'd have given up what it would have taken to get him, whether it would have been just a mountain of picks plus some young talent, or RJ Barrett and a similar type of picks package as the Cleveland Cavaliers did, I don't think that's something that would have vaulted them into, honestly, having a chance of getting out of the first round. Now, maybe you can say, well, no, but it would have set them up to get another star, so on and so forth. But the other thing here, and everybody I talked to around the league still thought this was going to end up with Donovan Mitchell in Madison Square Garden. But
I thought it was going to be that 3 hours ago.
I saw Woj's tweet, I thought it was going to. And when I saw the tweet, first thing I did was made sure that there was a blue check mark on that thing. But Danny Ainge sent a clear message that this is about what he wants to do. This is about his vision for the Jazz, and what Donovan Mitchell wanted had absolutely nothing to do with the business that the Jazz did this offseason. And that obviously is a complete 180 from the way that they operated in the previous year and really few years.
Well, just real quick to your point about Danny Ainge, McMahon, one thing an executive in the league has said to me over and over and over again the past several weeks is, when you look at these trades, you have to focus on what is it that the team that's trading away the star player wants. And when you look at this from the Jazz perspective, from the moment they made that Rudy Gobert trade, they signaled what they wanted, which was a lot of picks. And clearly, Cleveland stepped up and delivered what they wanted. And the Knicks had the ability to and didn't. And now there's going to be a long debate for a long time about whether that was the right decision or not that the Knicks made. But ultimately, that was their choice. They had the most picks. They could have got this done. They chose not to. And now Donovan Mitchell's a Cat.
So I want to talk real quick. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, even though Donovan Mitchell clearly wanted to go to New York, he certainly landed in a better win now situation in Cleveland.
No question.
I mean, I don't want to go into too much details, but I know that Donovan was very excited when he found out initially, when he found out that he was traded, number one, and two, that he was traded to the Cavs, and that the Cavs were not trading any of their three-star players for him. I believe he was on a golf course and might have been running around and hollering with excitement when he found out that. So I don't know. We'll see how he feels in 3 years about playing Cleveland. I say this as a Northeast Ohio guy, but I think I can say pretty confidently he was very excited in the moment when he found out that he was going to be joining the team with, you know, Evan Mobley hasn't been an all-star yet, but he's certainly a potential all-star. I want to say something real quick about landing the plane. Talking to executives who've been in the NBA for a really long time, you know, a lot of people can talk about big deals. There's something to be said for executing a big deal. So like you look at a guy like Pat Riley in his front office in Miami, Andy Ellisberg, look at how many big deals those guys have done over the decades, whether it was getting Alonzo Mourning, whether it was getting Shaquille O'Neal, you know, getting LeBron James and Chris Bosh, getting Jimmy Butler. You know, you look at a guy like Sam Presti in Oklahoma City, whether it's trading stars out or bringing them in, look at how many times he's landed the plane on a big deal.
Yeah.
Closing a deal is hard in the NBA. And, you know, Masai Ujiri is another guy. He landed the plane. No matter what you want to say about anything, he landed the plane on Kawhi Leonard. The
question, and Carmelo, back in the day.
And Carmelo, yeah. And so the tough thing here is, you know, the Knicks weren't able to land the plane. And ultimately, look, they still get – it's not like those picks that they have are now not there. They still have those picks. They still have the 8 tradable firsts. It doesn't mean that they can't go get another player. But you're right, Tim Bontemps. It took a long time for them to get in a position here where they had the edge on a trade. You know, certain teams don't have an edge. You know, the you know, for various reasons, you know,
they not only had the edge, they not only had the edge, they were the undisputed runaway leaders in the clubhouse.
I mean, your survey, it was 14, he's going to New York, and 1, he's staying in Utah.
And the one who's staying in Utah said, he didn't think he'd get traded by the start of the season, and it's hard to do that trade in season. He didn't think that he thought the Knicks had the best chance to get him. Everybody thought the Knicks had the best chance to get him. And again, to your point, maybe it will be the right decision. But at the end of the day, the Knicks have spent all this time building up capital to get a star. They had a star sitting there. They didn't use it to get him. And now the whole Leon Rose tenure, it comes down to that decision. Like it's a referendum. This becomes the whole tenure is a referendum on that decision now.
So it was reported. I wish I could tell you who did the initial reporting. I just don't know. I was gone early this week, so I apologize. I'm not trying to not give credit.
You were also on a golf cart running around celebrating, going crazy.
I was not celebrating. Trust me, I was hitting the ball in the native grass, as they say. There was a report that the Knicks offered RJ Barrett, Quentin Grimes, and 2 unprotected firsts for Donovan Mitchell. I have reason to believe that that report was accurate. And then they signed Barrett, which in theory took him off the table, not really, but took him off the table. So let me just ask you this, because I have reason to believe that's accurate. As we sit here today, would you rather have RJ Barrett, Grimes, and the 2 unprotected Knicks picks, or what they got from Cleveland, which is, you know, some, you know, Markkanen is a rotation player on a medium-sized contract, a lottery pick, Colin Sexton that you're paying.
Will be a fan favorite in Utah.
And I mean, which deal, as we sit here today, September 1st, 2022, which deal do you like better when we know that we're not going to know where the Cavs picks for a while, pick for a while?
The picks. I like Barrett better than Sexton, although Barrett's more money, but Sexton obviously coming off the injury. But it's about picks. It was always primarily about picks, and the fact that they are getting at least one more pick, and the fact that those swaps are 2026 and 2028, which is after this Donovan Mitchell contract expires. Those swaps could certainly matter. I'm not saying they will, because even if Donovan Mitchell's not long for Cleveland, they still have a really nice core of those 3 foundation pieces. But I'd go with the picks.
What have you been saying, Brian, for 2 months, right? You've been saying, look at what teams do and what people do rather than what people say. You look at what's happened here. Danny Ainge makes a trade for 4 or 5 first, however you want to calculate it, a bunch of first-round picks from the Minnesota Timberwolves 2 months ago, right? Whatever we think is the better package, it was clear what the Jazz were going to think was the better package. And that was, to Tim's point, the picks. Get more picks.
But RJ, you can argue that RJ Barrett himself is worth two firsts.
You can argue whatever. The bottom line is what the Jazz wanted was the picks. And that's why, like, your question, which one is better, to me is kind of irrelevant. Because if you're looking at it from the Knicks perspective, you knew what the Jazz wanted. And you chose not to offer it up in a trade, right? So let's go back to the conversation we had about RJ Barrett 24 hours ago when the Knicks signed on this extension. Are the Knicks, because the Knicks didn't put in those picks, do the Knicks maybe not think Donovan Mitchell's worth putting in five first-round picks? Do the Knicks think they're not good enough, to McMahon's point earlier, that it's worth putting in four or five first-round picks? Because the team, we all agree, wouldn't really be any kind of contender just adding Donovan Mitchell to this team. Whatever the reason, there's some reason they weren't willing to put in the same kind of picks the Cavs were. So whether one package is better or not, like I'd probably like the Knicks package a little better in terms of just pure value, but that doesn't matter. It's what the Jazz wanted, and we all knew what the Jazz wanted. And the Knicks, beginning, were never willing to pay that kind of price.
Yeah, I just wonder if the Knicks would have gone to three unprotected picks by the end of September. We'll never know.
I also wonder if they'd have thrown in maybe Dallas and either Washington or Detroit. Like, was there some way they could have thrown in some of that?
I'm going to push back on that because, again, go to Minnesota. Go to the Minnesota trade. Go to the actions the Jazz took. What did the Jazz get in that trade? They got unprotected future draft picks. What did Danny Ainge get from the Brooklyn Nets way back in the day in the Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce trade? They got unprotected, long-term, future draft assets. That is what Danny Ainge was going to try to get for Donovan Mitchell, full stop. So if you wanted Donovan Mitchell, that's what you had to give up. Like, that's it. Yeah. There's no – that's the whole thing. And the Knicks, like you said, Brian, you've been right on that the whole time. Look at people's actions over what they say. Yeah. The Knicks' actions in this scenario were, we don't think it's worth it to pay the price necessary to get Donovan Mitchell, because that was going to require them to give up a ton of unprotected draft assets. And again, that's why this becomes a fascinating debate, because you're not going to know the result of this trade for 7 years, but that's the bet that the Jazz are making on the long-term Cavs assets. And the Knicks were not willing to put up those kind of assets. That's why Donovan Mitchell's in Cleveland and not in New York.
So, yeah, so if you look at this summer for the Jazz, they traded Royce O'Neal, which started all this, for a future first from the Nets. Although I don't know if it was a Nets pick. It was somebody else's pick, I think. They get four firsts from
the Wolves. It had to be somebody else's. Houston has all the Nets.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Philly. The Philly pick from the –
That's right.
Philly,
that's right.
They get four unprotected picks from the Jazz. I'm sorry, from the Wolves. Although
one's like a top five protection, I believe. Okay. Three are totally unprotected.
You're right. And then they got Walker Kessler, who was the 22nd pick in this draft by the Wolves. So they kind of looked at it as getting five firsts. In this trade from the Cavs, they get three unprotected firsts, the two swaps, and the Cavs' Oche Agbaji, who was the 14th pick. So they look at it as getting four firsts plus the swap. So you combine all that together, the way they do their calculations, I'm sure, they're looking at 10 firsts that they pulled out this summer, and they haven't – they haven't done anything with Bojan Bogdanovic or Mike Conley or Jordan Clarkson yet, or Malik Beasley. I think all of those guys could be on the move. I checked in because I wondered, could they reroute Colin Sexton? Maybe to the Lakers, for example. But I was told no, that Sexton's going to be in Utah. At least that's the plan. I assume they're going to keep Agbaji. We'll see if Markkanen stays. I don't know what Markkanen's market is, but... For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. So we'll talk more about that in a second. The other thing I want to say before we move on to focus to the Cavs, we talked about.
I was going to say, we got to talk about the Cavs at some point. They're the team that actually got this.
You think I'm not going to talk about the Cavs because I haven't written four books about the Cavs?
Yeah, but you're banned from the state.
I don't believe so. We talked about the animus that the Knicks and Jazz had at the end of this over the weekend. The Cavs and the Jazz have a great comfort level with each other. Justin Zanuck, the general manager, and Kobe Altman, the Cavs general manager, have done four or five deals together over the last 4 or 5 years. Some of them big deals. Jordan Clarkson going to Utah, for example. Rodney Hood coming to Cleveland, which at the time was a pretty big deal. They've done small
deals. Jay Crowder going to Utah.
Yeah, Jay Crowder. There's been
and Danny Ainge has history there too.
Yeah, he did the deal with Kobe for Kyrie. So there's a lot of comfort there, and so I think they went from according to what Woj said, even though they had talked like the last couple of weeks, when they got serious about this, as far as I know, I checked in last week because I felt that they could have had a deal I felt that any deal that Utah did with Cleveland was probably going to have to include Colin Sexton. They could have just traded Kevin Love and Donovan Mitchell, make almost the same money. Love makes a little bit less, like $2 million, but they could be traded straight up for each other. So I didn't want to discount that they could have been Kevin Love, but I thought it was likely going to be Sexton. So I checked in last week on that, and I was told that there had been no meaningful contract negotiations. At the end of last week, there had been no meaningful contract negotiations between Sexton and the Jazz. So I don't think it was, I think it happened pretty fast. All right, now let's talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Timberwolves, when they did the deal for Rudy Gobert, one of the reasons that they felt comfortable going in on this deal was because they had Karl-Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards there. They had two stars under control that they were going to have, and they said, let's go now. You look at the Cavs, they have Evan Mobley, who we all think has the potential to be a perennial all-star if he stays healthy for a decade plus and to be an absolutely dominating player on the defensive end. They have Jared Allen, who made an all-star team and is what, like maybe 26 or 27? I haven't looked
at Mobley. And is on a very, very reasonable contract.
With no opt-outs for 4 more years.
Right, they 20 signed, mil flat a year.
Jared Allen's 24, by the way.
24. How old? Can you look up how old? Donovan Mitchell is about to turn 26. He's going to turn 26 next week. Jared Allen's 24.
Darius Garland will turn 23 in January.
Mm-hmm. Darius Garland, 23, just signed a 5-year extension. No opt-outs. He's under contract for 6 years.
Evan Mobley just turned 21.
Right. So Evan Mobley just turns 21. So the Cavs are now, Donovan Mitchell has 3 years left on his contract. The fourth year is a player option. And obviously that's going to be something to monitor very closely, his interest in wanting to be in Cleveland long-term. But he's still under contract for 3 years, age 25, about to turn 26. That is why a mid-market team like Cleveland, who is not going to be able to get guys in free agency, and yes, the draft is huge, important for them. That's how they got these players. They felt that they could go. And when I look at the Eastern Conference, Bontemps and I have talked about this. We may have talked about this on the pod. I think we talked about the Cavs a couple of weeks ago. We weren't sure if they were a playoff team. And that wasn't an insult to them. That was just reality.
This isn't yesterday's Eastern Conference. It's loaded now.
I don't know. But so the other thing is that so not only do the Cavs now already had three guys under control because Mobley is under team control, but they had basket defenders. And so if you're going to trade for Donovan Mitchell, you got to have defense. because he, you know, he's not going to be great defensively,
especially if you're pairing him with Garland. And they've got two elite got rim protectors, you know, both of whom can also move their feet. You know, you can't really target them on switches, especially not Mobley. He'll absolutely swallow you up. You know, the Cavs still are lacking for wings. They do have Caris LeVert, who now this trade does mean they probably are certainly going to give up the pick they owe there, which was lottery protected. I think this definitely makes them a playoff team. He's going in the last year of his contract. We'll see. But what the Cavs have done here is they have opened up a window to at least be very, very good. That's at least 2 years. And it's 2 years, and then maybe you have to make a decision on if Donovan you don't think is staying, then you can flip him and continue to if you get value for him. It's 3 years if you're willing to risk him potentially becoming a free agent. But they've got a chance to be a really good team with Mobley, especially. He can get much, much better.
Well, listen, last year we talked about the Cavs a lot on the pod, right? I said about 1,000 times the Cavs had one guy on the team who could dribble the ball. And that was Darius Garland, right? And obviously they eventually got Caris LeVert, but they were putting all of their offensive creation on Darius Garland's shoulders, especially after Ricky Rubio got hurt. Obviously Colin Sexton was hurt basically all year. You look at this trade. The Cavs from last year's team took Lauri Markkanen, not a very good player. Replace him.
He's fine. He's a rotation player.
He's not a very good player. He was also playing small forward on their team, which is insane. It was insane the entire time. They replaced Lauri Markkanen, below average player, with Donovan Mitchell.
He's not below average. He's an average player. Fine.
I mean, whatever. He's not very good. They turned him into an all-star guard.
He was an odd fit on the Cavaliers, and a guy who had trouble finding a suitor in free agency before that.
That's right. The bottom line is they turned that player off last year's team. Forget the draft stuff for a second. Lauri Markkanen out, Donovan Mitchell in. That is a gigantic upgrade.
Let me ask Cleveland, this.
Yep. Go ahead.
Go on. No, go ahead. Finish up.
I just was looking up the stats before we came on. Last year, the Cavs were fifth in the league in defense with Lauri Markkanen playing small forward with Darius Garland at point guard, right? Mm-hmm. Now, that last year, the Cavs were 20th in offense, again, with basically Darius Garland as the only guy on the team who could really be an offensive creator. Now you've got two elite creators with the ball, and you still got the two elite rim protectors inside in Mobley and Jared Allen. I don't think it's out of line to think the Cavs could be top 10 in offense and top 10 in defense. Last year, the teams that did that, Utah, Boston, Memphis, Phoenix. That's it.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, but nothing on your roof. So who's ever up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, barrel-sinking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can, even if that's just a 10-minute low-impact class, they have those too. And when you're ready, take it up a gear with a 30-minute live DJ ride. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Do you like the Donovan Mitchell trade for Cleveland better than the DeJounte Murray trade for Atlanta?
I like this trade a lot better for Cleveland because I think the Cavs are better built to take advantage of what they have. Like, I like the fit of DeJounte Murray with Trae Young, I'm not sure if the rest of the roster has the chance to elevate that much, but you've got with Brian said at the top, when you, and you both mentioned it, when you have Garland and Mitchell in your backcourt, you're going to have trouble guarding people. Well, if you've got 2 7-footers who, like you said, McMahon, can move around the court and get out and switch and do different things and also protect the rim, you take away a lot of those disadvantages. And all of a sudden, again, Cavs are 20th in offense last year. They're probably going to be a top 10 or 12 offensive team this year with those two guys on the court, assuming they're healthy. And Evan Mobley's going to get better. Like, there's no way he's not going to take a big step forward, just as out of osmosis. So I like this trade a lot better for the Cavs because I think they gave up a ton of assets, but their ceiling is, to me, a lot higher than Atlanta's.
Let me just say a couple of things about the Cavs' gamble here. If you go back to the James Harden trade, the first James Harden trade, they wiggle in and pull Jared Allen out of that trade. Okay. That was a turning point.
Trade, but yes,
that's true. That is a turning point for the organization. Mm-hmm. Secondly, Colin Sexton gets hurt.
Got Jared Allen. By the way, just should be reinforced. They got Jared Allen for the last pick of the first round. A Bucks first round pick.
Yes.
Just an absolute heist from the moment they did it.
So Kobe Altman, we didn't see it at the time. But we all liked it the day it happened. Like, wow, that's a great trade. But we didn't see it at the time. Turning point moment in the franchise. Secondly, Colin Sexton gets hurt, which initially seems like it's bad, although he was not fitting well into the team at that point. But it clears the lane for Darius Garland. And while it's unfortunate for Colin Sexton, clarifies that Darius Garland is their point guard of the future because there was some wasn't sure and became a great runway for him. That moment happens. They hit the lottery in a way that where the third pick happens to be great and where the teams in front of them just like the Rockets were obsessed with or locked onto Jalen Green. Doesn't mean that was wrong, but there were other teams that had Mobley higher than number three on their board.
Right.
The Cavs didn't even have to, there was no drama in their pick. Mobley was right there for them to take. It wasn't a hard call. It was there for them to take. He now looks like an absolute freaking stud. And now because of, LeBron, I'm not saying that they would testify to this in court, but I'm not sure they could pass a lie detector that they were not saving cap space for LeBron James. All their actions, forget about their words, their actions were indicating they were protecting 2020.
Yeah, for sure.
Cap space. So for LeBron signs his contract, and now they realize, oh my gosh, we got to come up with a plan B. Then the Knicks, who are in the catbird seat, don't close the deal. They don't land the plane. Kobe Altman comes in and lands the plane. Those events coming together are what allow the Cavs to pull this off. It's a series of events that comes together. They got to execute they got to finish off the team. They got to play well together, all that stuff. They got to stay healthy. Those series of events. So let me just go over that. Now let me say this. This is deep in the CBA.
McMahon, we got a lot of finger pointing and gesticulating. Okay. Windhorse is getting going.
This is deep in the CBA, but the Cavs did create a problem today, a potential problem. And that is that you are only allowed to have 2 designated players on your roster. You can only trade one.
This one, I'm going to stop you. This won't be a problem by then because Donovan Mitchell will be off his second contract.
It will be a problem, my good man. It will be a problem.
No, I thought you only allowed to have – I thought you could have as long as you can't one be your own. Like your own draft?
I will go over it for you.
Okay.
You are only allowed to trade for one. You cannot trade for two, which is why the Nets couldn't trade for another. They couldn't trade for Donovan Mitchell while they had Ben Simmons. So the Cavs had one this summer. They created one when they signed Darius Garland to a 5-year max. That makes him one of their designated players. Today, they traded for another one in Donovan Mitchell. They were allowed to trade for him because they had traded for another. Now, Evan Mobley, assuming he continues to play this well, is probably going to be a designated player. He becomes eligible to sign that extension in the summer of 2024. Donovan Mitchell will still be on his contract and in that summer. And so even if Donovan Mitchell extends, which I'm putting is doubtful at this point for various reasons we'll go over with, the Cavs can still sign Mobley, but they can't give him the 5-year contract. They can give him a 4-year.
That's also not accurate. They can't give him a 5-year extension. They could sign him to a 5-year max in summer of 2025.
Assuming he's not going to want an extension, you're going to roll the dice.
Well,
yes.
He could sign a 4-year extension in 2024, or they could sign a 5-year max deal in 2025.
Okay. We don't need to go ad nauseum with this. This will be discussed down the line, but I will point out that when the Cavs did this deal today, they did create a bit of a little thing to deal with on Evan Mobley, potentially, if he's what you wanted to be a designated player. That's all I wanted to say. We don't have to belabor the point, but that I just wanted to go over the full situation that the Cavs were looking at. They also, you know, when you're in the Eastern Conference and you're competing with Jason Tatum and Kevin Durant and Giannis Antetokounmpo and Jimmy Butler, you do need perimeter size.
This and Joel Embiid. I thought you were an Embiid guy. Well, my gracious.
Well, again, size in the perimeter. Even Chris Middleton, size in the perimeter. The Cavs don't have size in the perimeter. So that is going to be something that they're going to need. But I'm not going to talk about
James Harden
today. James Harden, too. So they aren't exactly, you know, they're not complete yet. But obviously they take a huge step forward. And well, you know, if you're Toronto, if you're Chicago, if you're Atlanta, you're not feeling great about the Cavs, you know, making this move.
Right. Well, a couple things here. First off, basically, Evan Mobley would be in the situation that Brandon Ingram is in, where he got the 5-year max contract in as a restricted free agent. So that it's a quirky thing. It could be a potential small problem. I don't think it's a huge issue. If Donovan Mitchell's still on the team at that point, the Cavs will be in pretty good shape overall. Now, to go to this situation, we talked when Minnesota made the Utah trade. That info was all from Bobby Marks, by the way. I was checking to make sure I was right. So full credit to Bobby.
I checked with him too.
When Minnesota made the Gobert trade, we talked about the fact that this team had so little playoff success, right? A couple quick trivia questions for Mr. Windhorst. Mr. Windhorst, when was the last time the Cleveland Cavaliers won a playoff series without LeBron James?
1992, 93.
Oh, man.
30 years ago. 30 years ago this season. They have won a playoff series in 3 years in their entire history when LeBron James wasn't on the team. Now, obviously, they won a ton of games in the playoffs, won a championship with LeBron James. Obviously, that all matters. But without LeBron James, the Cavs have had very little playoff success. This gives them a real chance to do that. And to me, I love the fact that we're seeing these teams with young stars taking a huge swing like this and trying to make big steps forward. I think it's awesome for the league. I think the league's in a great place. We have all these interesting young teams across the board, Minnesota, Memphis, Cleveland, even Atlanta with the DeJounte trade. Like, it's fun and wide open right now to see all these different teams taking swings and trying to get these guys and making steps forward. And I'm pretty pumped from a competitive basketball standpoint for both the East and the West. Like, we talked about it with Sacramento yesterday. Like, Sacramento had a nice summer, made some steps forward. It's hard to argue they're one of the 10 best teams in the West. It's going to be hard to figure out who's going to – I mean, there's going to be a really good team in the East that's going to miss the playoffs. Toronto, Cleveland, Atlanta, Chicago, you know, Brooklyn, Miami. Some team like that is not going to make the playoffs because you can only have 8 make it, and there's 9 good – really good teams. So I'm pretty stoked.
Did you mention
Cavs
the Knicks?
Cavs have 9 national TV games this year, which even, you know, at the – at the start.
Jazz Knicks on TNT on my birthday, not or Knicks at Jazz, I should say. Not quite the same juice as it was supposed to have.
RJ Barrett against Colin Sexton, baby.
Not only that, I'm pretty sure that that in February, or that in February, the first game after the trade deadline, or the first national TV game after the trade deadline, was Jazz Knicks. I think they were setting up a potential there. That might come off national TV too. You know, we're gonna close it down here. I will say this: the Jazz are not done moving here. As we mentioned earlier, we expect Bojan Bogdanović, Conley, and all those guys. Obviously, the one thing that you're going to think about if you're the Lakers is, because I think the Lakers were maneuvering. We had a report out of the New York Post today that the Cam Reddish was kind of interested in getting traded, and I think that was code for, hey, when you trade for Donovan Mitchell, how about you send me to the Jazz so I can get rerouted to the Lakers? This trade, Bontemps did the math for me a little earlier. It pushes the Jazz within a couple million of the tax. I can tell you
from Bobby Marks again, doing the quick math, they're 1.7 million below the tax with 17 players on fully guaranteed contracts on their roster right now.
Okay. So keep in mind, because I do think that the Jazz and the Lakers can still do business here. There's Lakers potentially have pick or picks that the Jazz might want. I don't think the Jazz are going to want to be in the tax after doing that deal.
So, you don't think, huh?
Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see if, you know, because remember, Westbrook is the second highest paid player in the league at $47 million. Mm-hmm. So the Lakers are going to have to assemble a deal if they're looking, you know, if they go that route. And obviously there'll be other teams. I think Bogdanović, if he comes on the market, I think other teams will be interested. I think
It's why the Jazz make a lot of sense as a trade partner, because they have several pretty good players that make a lot of money, and the Lakers could basically reverse engineer the original Wizards trade and get a bunch of guys that help them, and the Jazz could still save a little money, and the Lakers could get a real rotation. Like, there's a reason why, you know, logically it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I also just want to see I'd like to see what the Cavs do with Kevin Love. I assume they'll keep him.
Well, I think they'll definitely keep him.
He's a big expiring contract. Now they don't have picks to attach to it anymore, but he's a big expiring contract, and there could be something that comes up to help them.
But they're willing to take on money.
Clear needs.
Yeah, they are willing to take on money. They just don't have a lot of even with Caris LeVert too. They're just not a lot of offense on the roster. So my guess is that from that standpoint, they'll keep Love because he gives them.
They just added Donovan Mitchell. That's some pretty offense.
I'm saying across the board, outside of that, like having a guy like Kevin Love to space the floor whenever you have, you know, Mobley or Jared Allen out there by themselves, like that's going to create a ton of space for those guys to operate, is more what I'm saying. Like, he is working in a second unit coming off the bench. He was one of the best bench players in the league last year. I just think he's probably more valuable to them that way than as an expiring contract. I do think quick, though, because we kind of glossed over it, I think we should do a quick exercise on where we think the Cavs stack up after this trade in the East.
Well,
Boston's better, right?
Mm-hmm.
Milwaukee's
better. Milwaukee, Philly.
Brooklyn.
I can't say Brooklyn because I have no idea what's going to happen with Brooklyn.
I can't assume anything in Brooklyn.
I would agree with Miami. That. Miami is an interesting one. Do we think Miami's better? Lost PJ Tucker. Another year older for Jimmy. Kyle Lowry struggled last year.
I think Kyle Lowry will be better next year, but we'll see. He is getting up there in years.
I think Miami will be better, but
Bam Adebayo is an awfully good player.
Bam's really good. What about Toronto?
I said I 3 hours ago I would have said Toronto was better than Cleveland. I can't say that now.
Yeah.
I would have said Atlanta is better than Cleveland.
I think I prefer Cleveland. I prefer Cleveland to Atlanta. I prefer it leaving Cleveland to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, if you're the Cavs, if you're the Cavs, you're gunning for home court first round series. That's what you're gunning for with this.
That seems like that seems like the ceiling, right? Do you sneak ahead of Miami and Brooklyn and you're the four seed?
Yeah, you got to see how healthy everybody is.
No, I'm just saying, obviously, health is we're assuming health across.
Well, that seems like the ceiling for this season. And again, they've got I think Garland and Mobley in particular are outstanding players
for
who
sure.
have a chance to continue taking significant strides.
And to your point, I was only talking about this year. Like that, right. The thing that's exciting about this group is these guys are all young. They do fit pretty well together. They can grow together. Like there's a lot to like there. But I do think it's interesting that, you know, whether it's fifth to ninth or fourth to ninth, like that's a band of really good teams. And one of those teams is not going to make the playoffs. And three of those teams are going to be in the play-in. So that's, you know, that's going to be something to watch all year. Cause as we've seen, we saw with Atlanta last year, like, you know, it's these things from year to year, if you don't reach what your supposed expectation is, I mean, look at Chicago. Chicago traded all these things to get DeMar, to get Lonzo, to get Alex Caruso. First half of last year, they looked like they were rocking and rolling. Then they have these injuries. Now we think they're a playing team. Like, you know, like this stuff can shift around really fast.
Well, I wonder if, I don't know who'd be available, but I wonder if any of those teams behind them now wonder if they have to make a move. And, you know, I also, you know, I also will just say that, you know, Cleveland, we don't know what Evan Mobley's going to be. I mean, if Evan Mobley.
Him and Scotty Barnes and all those back, teams are two. Yeah. Him and right. Scotty Barnes so, like, and those teams are two big wild cards.
If Evan Mobley comes back and goes like big step forward, which is reasonable, like what if he comes back and he's like, looks like all-star starter material this year? I mean, I'm not saying for sure, but like he's quiet guy. He's not posting videos of what he's doing. So what if he comes back and he's now hitting 43% on threes?
Well, I saw pickup run clips where he shot 100% from 3-point range.
Just like Melo.
Hey, just like
there's your big
the
wing.
NBA
Cleveland, there's
summer.
Your big wing. Call Mello. He's available.
There you go.
All right. Thanks
That'll
for doing this
defense.
Emergency podcast. a lot more to be discussed. Does this wrap the summer, the NBA summer? Can we have 3 weeks? I don't know. Probably not. Thank you to our producers for scrambling and putting this together. Thank you for listening, everybody. Have a good weekend. Thanks for listening to the Collective.
Adios, amigos.
Real quick, what's the easiest choice you can make? Window seat over middle? Taco Tuesday over salad? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/hoop, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/hoop now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/hoop.